Hey, this is Leroy Downs of thejazzcat.net. Thanks so much for stopping in and checking out all of the interviews. This one here is with my man, Mr. Tarion Gully. Unfortunately, the beginning part of the interview did not get recorded, but we're going to begin the interview today right in the middle where we're talking about all the hip cats that Tarion plays with. So check it out.
Once again, I must say that I'm extremely fortunate and blessed. I play with like a lot of great musicians, you know, who's playing great music, you know. So like, whenever I play lately, it's like it's always that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, I remember not playing with such great musicians, and I know how that feels, you know. Like you want to take some music somewhere, and they clueless to what you're trying to do, you know. You can't play it for them. You can't sing it to them. It don't matter what you do. They still just won't get it, you know. So to be able to always play with musicians who we can take the music wherever we want to go at any time is like a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like I was in rehearsal today, you know, with Sambo. I'm like, man, I just reminiscing in my head while, you know, just sitting behind the drums. Like, I remember like falling asleep listening to some of Sambo's records, you know.
Right. Right.
You know, with Marcus Miller, super producer, and Omar Hakim, and all these different people on it, you know. But I remember listening to that, you know, and like, back then, I didn't think about ever playing with David Sanborn, you know.
Sure, sure.
So, but like, here it is, I'm doing it. And it's because, you know, not just, you know, for whatever reason he hired me, you know. So I'm like really extremely appreciative, and I'm honored to be playing with him and all the other guys. Stephon, Christian, you know, Joe Locke, you know.
Well, you know, everybody's checking you out when you're playing, man, and they realize all of the great stuff that you're doing, man, and they appreciate you for it.
Yeah, that's where, like, one of the, he called me and, like, hired me to do the gigs before he actually heard me live. I think he just heard me on several different CDs. And, like, I was nervous when he came to hear me with Christian because we was, like, rocking out and, like, taking it all over, you know, yeah. But after it was done, he and his girlfriend was like, man, it was like they couldn't believe how extremely musical I was, going from like, you know, rocking out, bashing the cymbals to like, you know, something delicate and light like flowers, you know. So like, he saw the musicality even within all of that, you know. So like, that was a great compliment, and like, it got me from being nervous, you know, that he can like see that I was versatile.
Yeah, well, they got
here. Not just doing one thing.
Yeah, they got ears, man. They can hear.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, what is it like? What is the mind of a drummer like? I mean, how many cerebral compartments do you have to access in order to process the rhythm of four individual limbs, hearing the intricacies of each musician in the band, responding to essential elements of original music in different genres, and also being the continuous source of time and support for the other guys?
That's a great question. The limb thing is just straight coordination, you know. You can take the coordination as far as you want to, extreme as you want to, by just working it out, practicing, and doing as much as possible you can. I hadn't done a whole bunch of that, but I've got it to a level where I can at least communicate and say what I want to say. But as far as, like, accessing the, you know, different periods, the different styles,
right.
You know, I really, like, focused in when I checked out all the different styles. You know, I used to do nothing but big band music when I was in high school. Like, when we woke up, we had to be at school before school started, like, 7 a.m., listening to Basie and Ellington. Right. You know, so I know what that is. I know what it is to swing like Sonny Payne or Sonny Greer, you know?
Right.
So, like, that's just in me. So, like, the way I learn music is by listening and really getting the concept of the music, you know? So when I'm playing, I really don't try to, like, I don't have to think about it. I'm like, okay, this is a hip-hop beat, you know. If I try to make the music just feel really natural and not like I'm trying to do it. I think that's the most important thing, is just really feel the music and play it as natural as possible.
Yeah. This is Leroy Downs. You're listening to Jazz and Blues Radio, KRML, that is. And I've got one more question for my guest today, Tarion Gully. You know, Herbie Hancock released Possibilities, brand new CD and DVD. It's a project where he collaborated with several giants in other genres of the music. Your generation of musicians are finding the possibilities within their own bands and taking the music to new and higher places. But what is it? Is it the rhythms, the feelings, the phrasing, or even the way you make contact with your drum kit that keeps the jazz in the music?
I think it's all of those things, you know, definitely all of those things. I think the problem I had with jazz for several years is, like, even today, I'm going to be quite honest, even today, I travel around the world, and some of the times we're on festivals and you get to see other people perform.
Sure.
Quite honestly, I'm like, man, if I was an audience member, I would want my money back, you know, because there's no heart or soul in the music that these people are playing, you know. I think you can be analytical and theoretical and really intelligent in your playing, but I think if the music don't have any feeling with it, what's the point, you know? So I feel that, like, if you can do all those things, but if it don't have the feeling, I don't think it's really relative, you know?
I agree with you. I think you answered it. I think heart and soul is key, and I see so many of these players just going through the same routine of the shows that they already do. You know,
exactly.
I know what you mean about that, but when you find new things in the music to put into the music to play, it's always a beautiful experience, man. And that seems like what you guys are always searching for.
Yeah, just trying to, like, play like we mean it. Like back when Train and those cats was playing in all the clubs in here in New York, you know, it was vibe. It was much vibe to what they were doing, you know.
Right.
They were living the music. You know, it's like now most of the music now is in the educational system, you know.
Right. Different learning curve.
Yeah, it's a very different learning curve. You know, so they're taught, like, theoretically, you know. And you can teach them and they can play all that stuff, but then you tell them play a slow blues and it's over, you know.
Yeah.
And they, like, don't know what to do. They're like,
glad
that's
you know what to do, man.
Well, I'm glad. You know, I grew up in church, so that's definitely a part of it, too. I was just in Aspen last week with Christian McBride, Eric Reed, a whole bunch of us, and we was at somebody's house having dinner. And we talked about, like, Miles Davis for about an hour. Just, you know, just, like, different parts of soul, like the way he walked, you know, the way he dressed. You know, all those different things are elements of soul, you know. How he communicated with you and made you want to, like, always be around him, you know. You know, it's what's behind it, you know.
That's what comes out in the music.
And, like, people, you know, a lot of times jazz musicians specifically think, you know, people aren't smart, you know. Because you play something super intelligent that you practice on, when they risk the people can know if it's real. And they always know. And, like, the best performers are the ones who always communicate that soul that we're talking about. Yeah, for example, like, with this camp, we did this Jazz Aspen camp. So you had myself, Rodney Jones, Russell Gunn, Jeff Keys, Ron Blake, Christian, quite a few of us, like, going around checking out the different bands. And one of the bands, it was like they was playing the stuff right, but we were just, like, ready to get out and get to the next class because they wouldn't give us, like, no energy, no feeling behind it, you know. So they was like, you know, after we talked to them, they were like, they were just really nervous and they didn't feel like they can, like, release, you know. I'm like, well, don't play the music if you're not going to release. It's not music if you're not releasing, you know.
Well, thank you very much. We'd like to be able to talk to you more. You're certainly an insightful individual and a talented musician. And thank you very much, Leroy.
Terrion, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Leroy the Jazz Cat Downs, you can get more of his interviews on his website. Simply go to his website, which is www.thejazzcat.net. There's a ton of interviews that he's done, all of the same quality, with just terrific jazz musicians, some established, some on the rise, some, you know, just on the cutting edge. It's just a terrific resource if you're really interested in knowing what's happening in the jazz world. Just go to his website, thejazzcat.net. And again, my gratitude to Leroy the Jazz Cat Downs for everything he does for the world of jazz, as well as musicians such as Terrion Gully, who really they're a force. And when he said soul, that really perked me up right off the bat. So
soul. That's right.
Thank you so much, Leroy.
All right.
Tarion, thank you so much.
Take care.
And we'll be right back with more from For Locals Only. You listen to KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, and we're at 1410 AM, 92.5 Comcast Cable, and broadcasting around the world on KRMLRadio.com. We'll be right back with more from our Tuesday, July 25th, 2006 show, and we are broadcasting live from the Eastwood Building right here in Carmel-by-the-Sea, California.